Tune in to the Paddy Power Cheltenham Preview Night with Ruby Walsh, Tony Mullins, Lydia Hislop and Frank Hickey. Monday the 7th of March at 7:30 live on Paddy Power's Facebook, Twitter and YouTube.
Welcome back to another episode of From the Horse's Mouth as we look ahead to a weekend of racing. And I've got Ruby Walsh and Matt Chapman in my company to go through the ITV racing. And of course, we'll have a good look at the Irish content as well with Ruby. But before we do, another reminder, we've got the Paddy Power Cheltenham Bunker at the Camden, March 17th and 18th. Tickets, you can check the link in the show notes if you want to go. There's going to be booze, there's going to be free bets, there's going to be Paddy Power, Paul Carberry, Fran Berry, Tom Nugent. Great fun. If you can't go to Cheltenham, which many of us can't, go there. It'll be great fun on the 17th and 18th. Of course, bank holidays, both days here in Ireland. Now, again, just before I go to Ruby and Matt, for those of you who aren't aware, Riyadh staged their big meeting, the Saudi Arabia big card is on Saturday with the $20 million big race. But the big race for Irish race fans, and to a degree, probably a lot of British race fans, a degree, obviously, Mishriff goes the big one, is Princess Zoe, Baron Samedi, and also Sonny Boy Liston go to post in the 207, the staying handicap on the card. If you want to hear from Tony Mullins, I would urge you to check out these show notes. I will post a link to a great little visit. Our intrepid Mark Walsh went down to his yard to talk all things Princess Zoe. What a star she has been. My particular favourite bit from that video, have a listen. Tony Mullins telling us how wonderful confirmation Princess Zoe has.
People knew Princess Zoe and her conformation, which is the shape of her legs and the angles and all that us horsemen think we know all about. And I don't know, do we know anything after this one? Because she's as crooked as a ram's horn and she walks out all cripply and all grounds come alike to her.
Yes, she walks a bit crooked, but boy oh boy, she can run. What a star she's been. Okay, that's enough from me, Ruby Walsh and Matt Chapman. Let's go. We've got ITV racing from Kempton, as well as Newcastle, as well as Linkfield. And we're going to start with the action at Kempton. And I'm going to start with Ruby Walsh in the 115. It is a 2.5 mile handicap chase. It's headed in the market by Phlegmatic. Patrocolis is 7-2. Phlegmatic's 3-1 at the time of recording. Deyrand, Carajac, 15-4. 7-1, Le Chameleon. 15-2, 1 True King. That's been the each way mover. 8-1 bar. Ruby Walsh, good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening. How are you? Give us a winner.
Great, PK, yourself. Look, Phlegmatic is your favourite. Won over 3 miles at Kempton on his last start. I didn't think he won with that much to spare. He's a good jumper. Dropping down a trip, perhaps that'll suit him. But I actually like Deyrand the Carjack of Alan Kings. It's dropped down from a career high mark of 137 when it chased Midnight Shadow around in the Paddy Power Gold Cup at Cheltenham back in November. Its two subsequent runs have been in similar races at Cheltenham. Comes to Kempton, down to a rating of 129. Alan King's horses are in good enough form. Tom Cannon rides. I just thought it had dropped back to a winnable mark, and I think it's dropping in grade as well.
Deyrand the Carjack. Matt Chapman, how are you? And give us a winner.
It's so annoying when Ruby steals my thunder straight away. He's obviously read the blog.
Obviously.
I dread to think what Ruby's done wrong overnight, but the fact he's had to spend the night in a caravan is not ideal. But you never know what goes on in the world. But yeah, Deyrand the Carjack is my nap of the day.
Wow.
I think he's chucked in. I think he's been even higher than what Ruby said in his time. I had him a lot on a mark 16 pounds higher once upon a time, but I may have got that wrong.
No, I'd say you're right. I only looked in recent times.
Yeah. If you go back a long way, he's been much higher. The thing is, he's been dropped, but he's running quite well. I thought the 5th of 16 at Cheltenham in a much, much tougher race than this didn't really deserve to get dropped a few pounds. I think he's absolutely chucked in now. Tom Cannon, Alan King, the Edward Stone team. And yeah, my nap of the day at fairly reasonable odds. And once again, this is why I have Ruby above me like this. I just like to have his mouth just there. Yeah. this is why, because great minds think alike. And when great minds come together, they should be close together like this. In fact, if I'm just going to go like, look, we could be two of the same.
For those listening, and a reminder that most people do listen to this rather than watch it, Matt Chapman has put up a background on his Zoom of Ruby Walsh celebrating a board. I'm going to go Faheen or Andy Paris, one of the two, surely. Do you know?
It's just basically because he's been allowed back home.
Okay, right. Well, it's on one of the Rich Ritchie horses that is behind Matt Chapman. They had to gobble him up anyway in the photo. So two votes for Dave Randy Karjak and a very, very confident one for Matt Chapman. Right, let's move on to the graded action, the Adonis, which is traditionally a race that you can throw your hat into the ring late for the Triumph Hurdle. It's a good field this year. Knight Salute is the favourite, the 2-1 favourite at the time of recording for Milton Harris. 4-1 Pleasant Man. What a fascinating runner. Both of those horses got good mentions on our Countdown to Cheltenham podcast on Monday by both Ruby and Frank Hickey. Impulsive One is 11-2. Mocha Devassi 6-1. Greystone 9-1. As is Teddy Blue and 12's Bar. All right, Matt Chapman, the Adonis. Give us a winner.
Okay, this is what I think about the Adonis in general. Look, it's not impossible that a Triumph Hurdle horse could come out of this and go to Cheltenham. But for me, if you're thinking that way, you're leaving it very, very late to throw your cards into the ring. And there's not much point in doing that late, other than the fact that, you know, either you got your horse, you bought it later on in the season, or something went wrong. Look, Pleasant Man, if he can jump, and he was once a classic hope for Roger Charlton, he ran in the Royal Lodge as a two-year-old. If he can jump, he is obviously a player because he should stay no problem on his flat form. And he was rated above about £20 on the flat, higher than Knight Salute. But I'm going to go with the proven form, very boring. Knight Salute, I wasn't with him last time, funny enough. I took him on, but I accept now that he is a pretty decent horse. He wasn't a bad flat horse at the end of the day in the 80s, so he wasn't a mug. He clearly jumps. I think the track will suit him. He's run at similar courses before, and I think he'll carry the penalty. So I think Knight Salute will win if Pleasant Man can jump, and it really is a proper horse, then obviously he could beat him. But Knight Salute, an experience for me.
All right, Knight Salute for Man. And Ruby, I know you were not keen on him to win the Triumph, but you thought that he probably would be the best of the British come the Triumph time.
Yeah, look, he's the best form. I mean, he beat Particello and Impulsive One at Doncaster. I don't think that was a fluke. And Particello franked the form last weekend at Haydock. But I probably, looking at the race, I would echo what Matt says. If you're having a bet in this, it's Knight Salute. But if you want to have an anti-post ticket, listen to Frank Hickey and Rory Delargy. Their advice was to back him Pleasant Man for the Triumph tomorrow, not tomorrow's race. Because if he wins, he's going to be half the odds he is tomorrow morning. And if he doesn't win, well, he's not going to run, so it's non-runner, no bet. I thought that was great advice from the two lads earlier in the week.
It was. You see, we've got great stuff for you on those Cheltenham Countdown podcast, folks, that are out every Tuesday. Right, let's move on to the 225. This is the Pendle Novice Chase, a grade two over 2.5 miles. Pick Dory for Paul Nichols, 15-8. 2-1 Manila Dram, that's 7-2 Fantastic Lady for Nicky Henderson. Miller's Bank is 4-1. And then Go A Lil, seemingly no chance of 33s. Okay, Ruby, a lot of punters will still have the question mark over the Paul Nichols horses, and I suppose how Pleasant Man goes. He's a bit of a curious one. We've never seen him over hurdles. So can we really determine whether he's back to form? But Victory, favoured on form, but there is that worry.
Yeah, and he is favoured on form. Solid enough run on his last start, which was behind Lon Presse and Mr. Coffee at Sandown. That was obviously a grade one. So he's dropping in grade from the Scilly Isles back to the Pendle. He's a decent horse. But look, I'm going for one with an if, and it's a big if, having watched him. But if Miller's Bank can get his jumping together, it's his first run after wind up. He is high class hurdle form, and if he gets his stuff together in the jumping department, I think he'll give Pick Dory a race. But it is an if with him. It's probably one of the races I don't have a strong opinion on.
You, the 2-4 figures next to Miller's Bank. What are you picking, Matt Chapman?
Look, I think Pick Dory's a bit frustrating because I suspect he's got more ability than we actually have seen. That said, it's not as if he's got a low rating. I mean, he's 154. He's only £20 off being a Gold Cup winner off 174. But and those ratings, incidentally, just absolute nonsense. I never know quite how they work them out because Pick Dory wouldn't be winning a grade one at Cheltenham with £20 more on his back. But anyway, that's a different matter. I think he's good enough to win this. He wasn't great behind Lon Presse, but he's won at right-handed at Ascot. I just think I'm not going to waffle for too long because he's not a horse I that like, but I think he's good enough to win this because I don't think it's an amazing renewal. That's really summing it up.
Mm. Okay, so far from confident selection on Pictori there, and one for Miller's Bank from Ruby. Okay, move on to the 3 o'clock, the Dovecot. It is a grade two. It's, I guess, a supreme novice hurdle trial. 2 miles the trip. 10 to 11, shall we have one more in the Goshen Silks for Gary and Joshua Moore. 9 to 2, I'm going to try this, Auchan Risk for Tom Cannon and Chris Gordon. Great to see them with a real good novice hurdler. 6 to 1, ICO for Paul Nichols. Frere Dames is 7 to 1, 11 to 1, and bigger the rest. I suppose Russian Ruler at 11 to 1 would be one of the coincidental winners. Okay, Matt Chapman, you go first in the Dovecot.
I'm going to be slightly annoying here for listeners, not for the first time. but look, I've got a tip, shall we have one more, who has a rating of 133 and won well last time. But to be honest, for an odds-on shot, I'm not sure I'd want to bet the horse odds-on, because I'm relying on that last bit of form, because before that, shall we have one more, didn't exactly set the world alight this season. But if the horse improves or at least stays still from that last win, I think shall we have one more will win again, because it was impressive. But as I say, I wouldn't want to put my money on at odds-on. I think it's more open than the betting suggests if the horse produces its first two runs rather than its last run. That's my problem. This will tell me whether this horse is really improving.
Well, the overnight prices can change quite a bit. It can be quite volatile, Matt. So is there a price you would have in mind where you think, do you know what, I'd happily take that about him rather than...
If it was 6 to 4, 7 to 4,
yeah,
I'd be happy to play. But yeah. I don't think on form, you know, you're judging, the odds on comes just because of the last time win. If that win wasn't there, this horse might not even be favourite for this race. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's why we have horse racing. This race tells us what to believe. So if I'm telling someone to lump on at odds on, I can't honestly do that. He might win like an odds on shot, but before the race, I don't think his form is solid enough to be lumping on at a short price. That's just what I feel.
Yeah, you're happy to let him win alone without your bet at 10 to 11. But if he was to get to 6 to 4, then, and you know, you might have a few.
I mean, it's very unlikely to be 6 to 4. So, I could say if he was 33 to 1, he's very unlikely to be 33 to 1 either. You know what I mean?
But there can be quite volatile price changes. You never know. And I think it's fair to have a price in your mind. A lot of our listeners would say, you know what, I'd be happy to back that at that price. And if it doesn't get to there, I'll leave it be. I think that's fair. Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Matt. But shall we have one more bumper form last match? That looks pretty strong form as well. Now, considering walking on air would be many people's idea of the Ballymore winner. So I do think he has achieved more in his life than any of the opposition. I thought Isio was disappointing at Cheltenham, having looked with the potential to be decent at Christmas when it won at Kempton. And Frere Darame of the Skeletons, well, it's won well the last twice, but in two very ordinary races, even compared to this one. So again, it's more picking the winner like Matt than one I'd be willing to back. And that shall we have one more.
Okay, far from confident selections on the jolly old favourite there from the two lads in Dovecot. We move on to a race that was formerly probably best known, certainly in my lifetime, as the Racing Post Trophy. It's now the Carroll Trophy, a 3 mile handicap chase due off at 3:37. Now, watch out for four places in this instead of the usual three. And Sam, the 5 to 1 favourite for Adam Wedge and Evan Williams, the Cool Cody Silks. 5-star getaway is 11 to 2, 15 to 2 for the big breakaway. Back to form, it seems. Captain Orr for Christian Williams, who's got a couple in this race, is 15 to 2, 9 to 1 for Jiguli for Gary and Jamie Moore. That's been well backed. Phoenix Way is 10 to 1, as is Zanza and Galahad Quest. Okay, Ruby Walsh, the Carroll Trophy, 3:37. What's your thoughts?
I fancy Phoenix Way. He just stepped up in triple pseudo. He didn't go up that much for beating Fanny and Destreval at Ascot on his last start when he got up close home under a fine ride from Kevin Brogan. I think Fanny and Destreval ranked that form last weekend at Ascot when he was third behind Fakir Dudari. And I honestly thought Phoenix Way would go up more than he has, the £6 for winning at Ascot. And I think his form has been franked at the highest level in grade one race by Fanny and Destreval.
Good case made by Ruby there for Phoenix Way. Matt Chapman?
Yeah, I tipped up Phoenix Way last time and he was a nice price winner, so I wouldn't put you off that horse at all. But I really like 5-star getaway here. I think he's bang in form, slightly up the weights, but not that much up the weights, just £4 lower when winning two runs ago. It's gone up £4 effectively. The Sandown run was okay, suggesting that in a slightly stronger pace field, he still could operate off the mark. I just didn't think the race panned out quite for him right. And goes at the track. Christian Williams got a strong hand in this. And look, he's going to be around 92, 5-1. If you want to play him each way, I wouldn't put you off on the terms. You're just about get your stake back if that's the kind of punting you like. And if you just want to bet him at a win bet, I wouldn't mind either. I think he's got a great chance, 5-star getaway. And I think a lot of these have got question marks about them. The biggest one for me, I'm interested to see how he runs, is just Emrillo, who looked like a character, but a real progressive chaser when winning at Sandown at the end of last year. I fancied him in the big race at Newbury, first time out, that many of us know as the Hennessy, now sponsored by a little firm somewhere. And he fell in that when travelling like a bomb, and then he ran rubbish next time. So I have no idea how Emrillo will go, but I'm interested to see. But my selection, without any doubt, 5-star getaway.
Okay. Good cases made for Enrillo, a 5-star getaway, and also Phoenix Way from the lads. That is Kempton wrapped up in a nice little bow. We're going to move on from the staying handicap chase at Kempton to a 5-furlong sprint on the all-weather at Linkfield. Talk about covering all bases on ITV this weekend, Matt. It is one of two live races in Linkfield. This is the Heaver Stakes. You'd miss Catchy, wouldn't you, Matt? He was terrific.
Well, the good thing about Catchy, it was a bit like having Native River in a Cheltenham Gold Cup, which is actually what, when people talk about the Gold Cup, we won't have this time around, is a guaranteed pace. And as Ruby knows, and not better than me, because it will have been the same as a jockey as it is looking at a race as a punter, when you've got guaranteed pace, the whole race becomes easy, or much easier to solve. And with Catchy in this, we'd have guaranteed pace. We haven't got guaranteed pace because Catchy's not in it. But I do think Exalted Angel's the most likely winner. Got a good draw for Work Rom. Didn't run that well last time as far as finishing position is concerned, but didn't get a clear run. And once clear, did start to move. So stall three looks ideal. Exalted Angel for me.
Yeah, you'd miss Catchy. What a superstar he was around this course. 5-2 Exalted Angel, as Matt Chapman mentioned. He's the favourite just from Lord Riddiford, who's 11-4. Tone the Bronze, 7-2. And your old buddy Mon Damage Ruby is there at 9-2. You've definitely flagged him up on a few occasions.
No, I think that's the other person sitting across.
Was it Matt? Was it?
Sitting across this Zoom meeting from me, Mon Damage. Yep.
Thanks for listening, Patrick.
I looked at it a little bit like Matt was. Exalted Angel, Lord Riddiford, one or the other, their installs 3 and 4. Both had a run in February after a little bit of a break. So both should have progressed for that run. But coming down on which side, I don't know. Exalted Angel has won 3 times on the all-weather from 15 starts. Lord Riddiford has won 6 from 16 starts. Exalted Angel has finished 2nd on 6 occasions. And he's only managed to win 3 times. So purely going on the reasoning of one being a more prolific winner than the other, I came down on Lord Riddiford's side. That was all.
Okay. Top two in the market covered then for the Heaver Stakes, the 5-furlong sprint. The Linkfield Winter Derby is due off at 2:05, and it's a very good renewal. I must say, Lord North, who is a genuine, proper Group 1 horse for John and Thady Gosden, who, of course, will have their eyes on Mishrif at the weekend in Saudi Arabia. 10-11, Lord North, your favourite for this. 3-1 for Alan Kerr for William Haggis, who was long thought as a classic prospect, a decent animal in his own right, 3-1. Fancy Man is 100-30 for Richard Hannon. Forest of Dean for, again, John and Thady Gosden, 12-1 and 20-1 bar. Okay, Ruby, it's a good renewal. You're a man who loves your top quality Group 1 horses in Group 3s, and you've got a genuine one here in Lord North.
You most certainly do, and he is a very, very good horse. He's been off the track for a year. And, well, almost a year, 336 days to be exact. But I don't know. I think Alan Kerr from 3-4 is probably open to improvement that it's hard to say Lord North is open to. That's just purely on age and being a natural progression. And I think Alan Kerr's run at York behind Mishrif, and he was in front of Love, is a pretty solid run. So I'd be willing to take on Lord North with Alan Kerr.
Interesting. Okay. Matt Chapman?
I'm the opposite, really. Look,
in many ways. In many ways, Matt.
No, not according to the pictures. But I've got, look, Lord North, with his rating, if he's anywhere near right, he's a class apart. And on the basis that he's using this to warm up for Dubai, he can't be that wrong, because the Dubai World Cup is the 24th of March. It's not that far away. So how sort of needy is he going to be? Well, presumably not that needy. He only ran one last year, but he did win that race, suggesting that you can ready him quite quickly. My problem with Alenker is the ground. I mean, he, on all his flat form, for me, he wanted mud, and it's not going to be muddy at Lingfield. And I couldn't understand Fancy Man's odds, who, you know, is quite short and was a good winner last time, but has about £20 to find on form. Look, I find it very hard not to tip Lord North. I expect him just to completely outclass this lot. If he's right, he's one of those, Patrick. If he finished last, I wouldn't be surprised. But if he's anywhere near right, I expect him to win.
I will be fairly surprised if he finished last now, I must say. I think he wins this on...
Well, he's either right or he's wrong. I don't think he's going to get beat ahead. If he's right, he'll win. If he's not right, he'll be tailed off. That's how I see it.
Okay. Be interesting to see how he goes. Big weekend for John and Thady Gosden. As mentioned, Mishriff goes to post in the $20 million Saudi Cup as well. And it goes there with a big chance as he looks to win that back-to-back. Okay, from the Lingfield all-weather back to Newcastle. And we're not talking all-weather Newcastle. We're talking 4 miles, 1.5 furlongs in the Eider Chase. A recognised trial for the Grand National, but a good race to win in its own right. And history of fashion, the Irish Raider for Pat Fahey and Richie Condon is the 4-1 favourite for this race off the back of a win last night. Watch out for extra places on this race, by the way. Eclair Surface 13-2, it's 7-1 for Danilo Derry. Domaine de Lille will lump top weight for Sean Curran at 9-1. 9-1 also for Court Master for Michael Scudamore, Richie McLaren, 10-1 and bigger the rest. And match up, you go first in the Eider.
Well, look, Ruby will give us a better idea on the Irish Raider, but what I've noticed this season is almost any Irish Raider, wherever it comes from, almost starts favourite for these big races. It's almost as if the bookmakers in general, the bookmaking world, because of Cheltenham and Aintree, etc., just don't take any chances with Irish Raiders and handicaps over here. And the horse might well win, but I'm going for an old horse who is not going to be getting any better. In fact, the handicapper tells us he's getting worse, but he stays well. I tipped him at Warwick last time, and he didn't run a shocker, but he didn't run very well. It's Achille for Venetia Williams and Hugh Nugent at the age of 12. No one's expecting him to improve, but he did run well in the Welsh National when he was fourth, and he didn't run badly when fifth at Aintree first time out, suggesting that the old legs can still move a bit. Stamina's going to be key, and what Achille does have is stamina. So Achille each way, but as I say, there could be something better handicapped, including Ruby, the Irish Raider. What can you tell us?
Yeah, look, Matt, obviously it could be history of fashion. Won off a mark of 119 at Down Royal on his first start in a handicap chase. It went up £9 in Ireland, but obviously in the UK it's gone up 11 to a mark of 130 that it runs off tomorrow. Its best run over hurdles was at the Punchestown Festival in the Connolly's Red Mills Auction Series final at the Punchestown Festival when it finished fourth that day, chasing home Surprise Package, who was a ready winner. Beat It Could Be You. Yeah, maybe history of fashion is going to go and win the Eider, but I didn't see that watching them at Down Royal. Having said that, perhaps it could be. Pat Fahey's horses have been in really good form this year. Mr. Fogpatch has run an absolute blinder in the Tiestes to finish placed, so Pat Fahey knows, has a good line in his own yard as to where you need to be in a handicap chase, and I doubt he's making the trip to Newcastle for the good of his health. But my nap is in here in this race actually.
Oh.
And I fancy Win My Wings for Christian Williams. I thought Win My Wings stayed really well to win at Exeter on its last start. Came from well off the pace to win. Came from well back in the home straight even to win. And I know there was a faller that might have helped that, but I thought Win My Wings powered from the second last home at Exeter. I think going up in distance will suit. Christian Williams has put cheap pieces on her for the first time. And I think at 16-1, she's my each way in that, PK.
Wow. Okay. I was just about to ask for your naps of the weekend on the under the basis that they came in the UK. Ruby, you've clearly mentioned that your nap is Win My Wings. Matt, just remind us of your nap. I know it comes at the 1:15 at Kempton.
Dayran Dekarjak at Kempton. Alan King, Tom Cannon, fancied by the one and only Ruby Walsh as well. When Chappers and Walshy go absolutely smashing into one, the price is sure to collapse. Paddy will be battening down the hatches. So I know we don't do it on this pod, but let's just boost it everywhere that Paddy will let us boost it.
Welch higher best. I was just putting the two prizes into the old bet tracker, bet calculator there. A fiver will get you back 400 of the two win. That's the two naps. That'll do. You know, that'll get the old Cheltenham coffers going. Ruby, 16 to 1 each way now. Brilliant stuff, lads. That is the ITV racing covered. Myself and Ruby are going to look ahead to the Irish racing. Matt, we're going to say goodbye to you for now. Are you working this weekend on ITV, Matt?
I will be at Kempton on Saturday for the ITV channel. Yep. So looking forward to that.
And tell me this, Matt, you're usually across the Irish Sea about 15 times between now and Cheltenham. Are you doing any Cheltenham previews around that week that our loyal listeners would love to see and shake your hand and buy you a pint or get a pint off you?
You know what? My popularity is clearly getting less and less. not had one phone call for any Cheltenham preview night from anyone that I don't already work for. There is an At the Races Cheltenham preview night next week. And I am doing some racing Cheltenham preview night as well. But other than that, no,
really?
not even Paddy wanted me for the Paddy Power one. Not wanted.
We'll talk to our producer about that. I don't know why that was clearly an error, right? Clearly, yeah.
Well, you know, having said that, that 10 grand fee might have been a put off. You never know.
Oh, you've already produced it. You've halved it, have you? Fair play.
Well, I found out what Ruby was getting and I got upset. But anyway, look, I'm hoping that, I don't know, we have the AA and the RAC over here. I hope whoever's coming to sort Ruby's tires out comes quickly and soon so you can get going at some point.
Yes, Ruby's in the car again for those listening because it's nothing to do with he's in the doghouse. I think it's to do with hunters and all that sort of fun and games that comes with being a father of...
To do with ponies and children, Matthew.
Ponies and children.
That's the great thing about children. It always gives you a get out, doesn't it? Like, yeah, I was just looking after the kids, honey.
She wants me to put her stock on, so we better start talking.
Right, okay. We're going to take a quick break. Matt's going to say, myself, Ruby, look ahead to the Irish action next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Very important message, as always. And I definitely haven't had the producer in the ear to remind you that the best and only Cheltenham preview you need to watch is live on March the 7th. And it will be a Paddy Power Cheltenham preview. It won't feature Matt Chapman, but it will feature Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, Lydia Hislop, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant broadcaster. And the only Cheltenham preview that you'll hear from Tony Mullins will be on that one. It'll be live on all our social channels, and I'm looking forward to it. And I definitely haven't been told to mention that by our producer. Great stuff. Okay, let's talk Irish racing at this weekend. We've got Ferry House and we've got Nace this weekend, Ruby. The first race is actually one of the better races. It's the, I suppose, if the Adonis is the last chance saloon for Triumph Hurdlers to get into the race in the UK, the Norman Colfer winning fair juvenile hurdle is probably the last chance for some of these horses, these juveniles in Ireland. Looking at the runners, Willie Mullins' Vidali in the race, who Paul Townend will ride. Big field, actually, 10 runners. I Care Allen as well with Mark Walsh. That's the probable favourite, Ruby.
Yeah, and look, I Care Allen and Vidali both would need this run, PK, to give them the option of the Brutals Fred Winter if they were to go that road. It is the third run for both of those horses. Both were slightly disappointing at the Dublin Racing Festival behind Vauban and Field Door. I Let Dead Pump was third. I Care Allen was fifth. He'd won at Leopardstown at Christmas, but that was below what we expected. We thought he'd run in the money, so you know he was disappointing. I found this a hard race to get a handle on. I think Vidali has to improve a lot. Vidali was very disappointing at the Dublin Racing Festival. Maybe she will come forward, but she needs to. And I'd be hoping I Care Allen could bounce back to potentially showed at Leopardstown at Christmas, but that run at the Dublin Racing Festival is lingering in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I remember you said that you were hoping for a big run, I remember on the podcast, but obviously disappointed. Right, the Bobby Joe Chase, which can be a route to various Grand Nationals, is drawn for 4.18 exactly. Only four runners, of which Willie Mullins saddles Burroughs Saint, who we know has already run in Nationals and run very, very well. How is he?
He's in great form, but all four of these are well up in the betting for the entry Grand National. So it looks like it's a complete stepping stone for all of them. Any second now is toward the head of the marking, so is Market, so is Borough Saint. And you have Cocoa Beach, last year's Thaestes winner, wasn't he? One run Wild Fred. And you have Iscaria 10, who was third in the National Home Chase behind Galvin. So look, it's a competitive race. Borough Saint was second in the race last year to Acapella Bourgeois. Got well beaten on that occasion, but did have and was getting £6 from Acapella on that occasion. So, you know, he does look to be in good form at home, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dad's Horse, any second now, was to beat them on.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for any second. That's a great little race, only the four runners. It's a very good race. I just want a quick word on the vote for Nina, text 53125, rated novice chase. Now, for those of you listening in the UK, what kind of a name for a race is that? Nina Carberry is in our version of, what do they call it in the UK? Strictly Ballroom?
Strictly, isn't it?
Strictly something. Anyway, we've called it Dance with the Stars, and she's going very well, your sister-in-law, Ruby. I think she's got like all tens.
Oh, she's flying. Yeah, she's nearly a better dancer than she was jockey, and she was a good jockey.
That's quite the statement. Yeah, Strictly Come Dancing. Thanks, Mark. I watch TV. So the vote for Nina, rated novice chase, Recite a Prayer is Willie's runner in the Billaway colours here. Danny rides, interestingly.
Yeah, for owner John Turner, Danny won the King George on Tornado Flyer. Same owner, different colours, but same people.
Fair enough.
Actually, I thought the line of form here would come through the Eider. If History of Fashion was to win the Eider, that would give Sovereign Gold a real boost in its form here. Sovereign Gold led History of Fashion down to the second last and then faded from the last at Down Royal. But if History of Fashion was to win the Eider, it would definitely increase the chances of Sovereign Gold here for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore.
We'll keep a very close eye on the Eider chase. And a one runner in the bumper for Willie, What Path, makes his belated debut. He carries the Appreciate colours. I had a quick look at the dam and what she did on the track. I didn't have to look very far because she didn't really do much. So what do you know about this one, Ruby?
It goes well enough at home, What Path. I saw him working the other morning. He should handle the ground. We are lucky enough to have a good handle on the bumper form at the minute. But I thought Kansas City Star for Gordon Elliott definitely caught the eye in the colours of Brian Drew. Soldier of Fortune horse won a point to point in October of 21 at Loch Ray for Colin Ball by 21 lengths. I thought he definitely caught my eye here.
Okay, that's a very interesting couple of runners there. Moving on to the Sunday action at Nace. Just wanted to look at a few races. The first race is the Grade 3 Chase over 2 miles. Again, four runners, but again, tight little field this one. Captain Guinness, Blackbow, Cashback and Durasso. Obviously, Willie's got two in Blackbow and Cashback. Interesting choice for Paul Townend, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think I'd go with Cashback. I thought he made a bad mistake at the first in Leperstown. Danny grabbed a hold of him to switch him on to get him to jump, but he ended up nearly running away with him. So I think he ran better than his finished position behind Shaq and Porcelain at the Dublin Racing Festival. And I think, I know he's rated £2 below Black Bow, and they both have 11 stone one, but I'd be with Cashback.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that, particularly the prices, working with our prices at the moment. The Novice Handicap Chase, by the way, the 2:30 is a race to watch out for. No Willie Mullins runners, but I tell you, that's a cracking little contest. Lieutenant Command drops into the handicap company. But one race that there is a Willie Mullins runner is the 3 o'clock, is the Grade 2 Novice Hurdle over 2 miles. Ador, I think is how you pronounce this one, in just a six runner race. Nice win last time, eh? Step up for him though.
Yeah, third run this season, was second on his first start at Navan behind what was his second? One of Gordon's, wasn't it? Oh, Fleuron. Improved to win at Fairy House. He's in good form. He's a forward-going type, which suits Nace. I like front runners at Nace. And Hador likes to get on with things. So, I'd be happy enough to fancy him. And also PK, just while we were talking and I was looking, Micromanage, the maiden hurdles later in the card. At 4 o'clock, Micromanage runs. Paul Rice, Micromanage. Look, he's been disappointing. He loved the ground. He does seem to be in good form at home. And in the second division, we have a Joe Donnelly runner called Bring On The Night, who was formerly trained by Andre Fab, I think, in France. It was. Hasn't run since he won in Deauville in May of 2020, but he seems to be working reasonably well at the moment as well. So I think those two maiden hurdles, you're into the end of February, almost March. It's not the most competitive time of the year for maiden hurdles, so you'd be expecting Hador and Micromanage to collect.
Lovely. That is the weekend racing wrapped up. We'll be back on Tuesday to another look at the Cheltenham County. We'll be looking at some of the staying chases at the Cheltenham Festival, Ruby, Frank and Rory. Until then, look, have a great weekend, everyone. Ruby Walsh, I hope the Pony Hunter Trials goes as well as expected. I'm sure.
Well, now, PK, I'm jumping off. I had to put a stock on my daughter and get my coat on and get the pony out of the box because everybody else is ready to go.
On that note, goodbye, Ruby Walsh. We will talk to you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay well.